We turn in the Word of God to Joel 2, and we're looking this morning at these 11 verses, verses 1 to 11, under this heading, The Folly of Neglecting Ministerial Warnings. The Folly of Neglecting Ministerial Warnings. Such is the influence of secularism and liberalism upon our society through its promotion of tolerance and inclusiveness. The sad reality is that there are many ministers who are doing their best to prove their inclusive credentials. No longer do they want to be associated with such doctrines as hell and wrath and judgment. It seems God himself is no longer angry with sinners, for there are no sinners for God to be angry with. And so the tragedy is that multitudes of sinners no longer learn or hear the truth in order to their salvation. All the warnings of Scripture have become neglected. All the warnings of Scripture regarding, in particular, the Day of Judgment have fallen silent. It is therefore vital that we all hear what Joel has to say to us. Hence our theme, The Folly of Neglecting Ministerial Warnings. First of all, in verse 1, the duty of ministers to issue warnings of coming judgment. The duty of ministers to issue warnings of coming judgment. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, that all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Let me remind you that Joel continues to address ministers. He has been doing this since verse 13 of chapter 1. And he has urged many things upon them. In chapter 2, verse 1, he is still speaking to them. And his language is clear. Raise the alarm. There is to be an alarm ringing in the night. An alarm constantly heard. And the message is plain, simple, direct. The day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. Judgment is coming. That's the alarm that has to be raised and made by ministers. But to this message, there are objections. The first objection goes like this. That is an Old Testament teaching. In the Old Testament, God is all wrath. God is all judging. But in the New Testament, God is all loving and forgiving. The answer to that is to take a moment and see what the New Testament teaches. And we will say that the message of the New Testament is identical to the message of the Old Testament. Sound an alarm, for judgment is coming. It was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 25, the entire chapter is on this very theme of Joel 2. It begins with this parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And so on. The bridegroom tarries, they all sleep. But at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The alarm is sounded. The day has come. And the Savior says in verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And from then on he proceeds over and over to preach the message of the coming day of judgment. And indeed he brings his whole narrative, his whole preaching to that particular moment, the day of judgment, when the king shall separate one from another. And he finishes in Matthew 25 with eternal damnation. So the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is identical to the message of Joel. It is also the message of the apostles. If we take one example, Acts 17, verse 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He hath appointed a day of judgment. And furthermore, it is one of the core principles of Christianity. Hebrews 6 verse 2, the very last clause, and of eternal judgment. Hebrews 6 sets out 6 principles, and the very last one of those principles is of this very doctrine. So it's one of the core principles of Christianity. The second objection. There are those who say, but it is now more than, 2,000 years or more beyond Joel. And indeed, it's been 2,000 years since the Savior himself spoke in Matthew 25. And still, it hasn't happened, they say. So if it hasn't happened, surely then it is unlikely to ever happen. Well, we would say it is true there has been a great time passed since the Savior spoke, and indeed since Joel spoke. But cynicism and disbelief is nothing new. For we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, the Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, the New Testament. And knowing this first, he says, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So the same message of the Old Testament and the New Testament is about this climactic day. And Peter says, there will be scoffers. There have always been scoffers and cynics, those who do not believe. But these things are written in order to warn you not to be a cynic or a scoffer. There is a third objection. What evidence is there that there will ever be a day of judgment? Well, there are three answers to that. First of all, God's wrath was historically revealed in order to point to judgment. 2 Peter 3, verses 5 to 8 makes that point. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So here is the earth made by the word of God, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God's wrath historically revealed in order to point to this coming day of judgment. The flood was recorded in order that every man, woman, and child would remember there is to be a day of judgment. And second, we would say that God's wrath continues to be revealed in order to point to judgment. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When Paul says the wrath of God is revealed, the Greek there sets out the idea, continues to be revealed. It is always being revealed. So we live in a world in which the wrath of God continues to be revealed in order to tell us there is to be a coming day of judgment. And thirdly, God's seeming delay is an act of mercy, not slackness. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's seeming act of delay is in fact an act of kindness. So it is vital that ministers never cease to issue warnings to sinners, indeed to all, of a coming day of judgment. And consider two things in that regard. First of all, God teaches ministers this particular truth. God teaches ministers this particular truth. Amos 3, verse 6 and 7. Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the prophets. So it's a particular truth that God drives home to ministers. So they are to continually warn men and women of a coming day of judgment. And secondly, God holds ministers responsible for the safety and welfare of others. Acts 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go on to the Gentiles. Because God holds ministers responsible for the safety of men and women. So ministers are to continually issue warnings to men and women about this day of judgment. But then secondly, the duty of men and women to take heed to ministerial warnings. In verse 1, Joel says, "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh." Now there is much opposition for sinners as they perhaps do take heed. As soon as a sinner, as soon as any man or woman trembles and starts to take heed to the warnings that ministers issue, they are faced immediately with opposition. And the opposition comes in three forms. First of all, from others. There are those who will say to sinners, "Don't be such a milksop. What are you afraid of?" Why, they say, "We are not afraid." So they sneer at judgment and they scoff at trembling. And I say to all sinners, what you must always remember is this, that other sinners who sneer at ministerial warnings of judgment, they sneer and they scoff because they want you in hell with them. Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They actively encourage other sinners to sin. They take great delight in other sinners sinning, knowing that the wrath of God is upon them. That same wrath will be upon others. When Joel says to these ministers, "Sound the alarm, that the inhabitants may tremble," when they hear the warning of judgment, oh, that they will tremble at such a message. But as soon as they hear, they are faced with opposition from others. And secondly, they are faced with opposition from Satan. Satan suggests to the minds of sinners two things. First, he suggests to sinners, "You have plenty of time. Yes, what the minister says is true, but don't you worry about it. Don't you get alarmed about it. Wait. Wait until you come to die, and then get ready to face God." No, says Scripture. Don't ever heed such sinful temptation. Scripture says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, not 5 minutes before you die. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Scripture does not come to sinners and say, "Well, here's a message of judgment, but tomorrow will be fine enough." Why not? Because no one is guaranteed tomorrow. That is why. And second, Satan suggests that God is all loving and merciful, and he would never damn anyone. God loves everybody, and so God will condemn none. No, says Scripture, that is untrue. It is a distortion of what the Bible itself teaches. In fact, Scripture says that Satan and his kingdom itself, they are all in chains reserved unto the day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:4, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So when Satan says God is too loving to condemn, it's a lie. Satan himself has been judged, and all his kingdom has been judged, and they are held in chains awaiting the day of judgment. But then sinners have opposition not only from others and from Satan, but from themselves. You see, as sinners get older, you know what happens to them? They become more indifferent to warnings of judgment. The older they get, they become more habituated in the way of sin. And they become older in sin and more familiar with sin. And the older they get as sinners, the more hardened they become against the gospel and especially against the warnings of the Word of God. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck." As sinners hear the message of judgment over and over throughout their lives, they become more hardened to it and more opposed to judgment. Joel says, when you hear the alarm, tremble. When you hear the message of judgment, tremble. Here are these ministerial warnings of judgment, and they come frequently. And Joel says, when you hear such a message, tremble. Take it seriously. But why should they tremble? Well, first of all, they should tremble because where there is no trembling, there is no belief. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear. Let us tremble. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The piercing quality of the Word of God, but in particular, the message of judgment. Do you tremble at such a message? Where there is no trembling, there is no faith, no believing. If you believe the message of judgment, then there will be trembling mixed with fear. And secondly, God looks to those who so tremble. God looks to those who so tremble. Isaiah 66 verse 2. The second part, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God says, to that one do I look. Do I look with favor? Do I look with kindness? To those who hear the word and they tremble at it. that all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Ministerial warnings are never to be ignored. But then thirdly, the day of judgment is worse than anyone can imagine. The day of judgment is worse than anyone can imagine. Verses 2 to 11. In verse 2 he says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. In verse 11, the last clause, who can abide it? And between those two fixed points, Joel proceeds to show us that the day of judgment is worse than anyone can possibly imagine or think of. He is effectively saying, do not fool yourself about the day of judgment. It is all darkness, it is all gloominess, it is all clouds, and who can abide such a day? Who shall stand in such a time? And to set all this out, Joel uses a series of similitudes to press home its uniqueness and its dreadfulness. It is, he says, like a devouring fire, verse 3, a fire that turns the Garden of Eden into a wilderness. A devouring fire. It's a day of battle, verses 4 and 5, like horses running, verse 4, the noise of chariots in verse 5. It's a day of noise. It's like a dreadful day of war. Could you imagine being a soldier in a trench and you hear the rumble of tanks in the distance? At first, it's very faint. Then it gets louder and louder. And then you begin to see the outline. And as the tanks come closer, you begin to see the full size of that army that's coming. And then the ground begins to vibrate. Perhaps the trench that soldier is in, the soil begins to trickle down the sides and fill the bottom of the trench, and louder and louder. How terrifying. God says that's what the day of judgment will be like. Terrifying, dreadful. In verse 6, a terrified people. So you have a devouring fire, a day of battle, a terrified people. Before their face the people shall be much pain, all faces shall gather blackness. A terrified people. A people filled with panic and dread. They have that sinking feeling which just seems to go on and on. They shake. They tremble. They quake. They are shattered. A fearsome army, verses 7 to 9. Nothing shall stand in the way of this army. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one in his ways. They shall not break their ranks. It's a horde that comes and it tramples over everything. Everything is overrun. He says in verse 10, a dreadful shaking. The earth shall quake before them. the heavens shall tremble. The heavens and the earth is all quaking. He says also in 10, an awful darkness. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. You cannot imagine, he says, what this day of judgment will be like. It will be worse than anything ever seen before. Beyond your imagination, it will be dreadful. It will be awful. Unless anyone think that this will simply be a mere natural calamity. He says in verse 11, the Lord shall utter his voice. The army that you hear, that rolling, thundering noise that gets louder and louder, it's the voice of God walking in the land, stirring and shaking the heavens and the earth. For his camp is very great. The Lord comes. And with him, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, thousands upon thousands of angels, his army. With a great noise, God says, I shall come. The heavens shall quake, the earth shall shake, and all shall tremble. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Joel making it clear, God is the one who is doing this. It is God who brings all this to a dreadful conclusion. These heavenly signs, the shaking of the world, the darkening of the lights, the thunderings throughout the universe. This is God calling all to judgment. It's all done by God alone. He is executing his word. That word spoken by ministers. Those warnings issued by ministers of a coming day of judgment. God keeping his word. That's what the day of judgment is. God keeping his word. I send you these ministers, he says, who blow the trumpet, who sound an alarm. Will you listen? Will you heed? Will you heed now before it actually comes? Let's come to a few conclusions and application. First of all, the church is the place where faithful warnings must be issued. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Zion, the place where the temple was built. But Zion is represented throughout the land in all its synagogues. And in all those synagogues, that's where God's voice was heard throughout the land. In those synagogues and in that temple, all erected for what reason? To hear the voice of God. To hear the word of God being read publicly and publicly preached. And through that word, these alarms would be issued. It is in the church where there must be that faithful, constant proclamation of the day of judgment. That's what the church is about, isn't it? Well, it's not all it's about. But if these warnings are not heard in Zion, they will not be heard anywhere. The church is the place where faithful warnings must be issued. But then, secondly, do not you neglect to hear that word. Don't neglect to hear it. No matter how you may feel, no matter how you are, you've come to hear the word of God. Hebrews 2 verses 1 to 3, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Paul says, give heed, by which he means apply the mind to. Give the more earnest, the greatest possible degree of attention. In other words, don't allow your minds to wander. How often we sit and hear sermons and our minds wander. Friends, that is not taking heed. It is not taking more earnest heed. It is forgetting. The just recompense upon those who did not hear the words spoken by angels. He says we ought. It's the duty required of every one of us. And verse 2 of Hebrews 2 gives us the example, and verse 3 of Hebrews 2 gives us the warning. How shall we escape? How shall we escape? If you neglect to hear, friends, you have no escape. None. When ministerial warnings come to you, when gospel proclamations come to you, if you neglect, you have no escape. You will perish like those referred to in verse 2. Do not neglect to hear the word. And then thirdly, do not despise ministers who warn. Ministers have always been hated for issuing such warnings. Isaiah 30, verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. You see what they're saying? Don't tell us what is right. We don't want to hear what is right. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Go away and shut up is what they're saying. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to hear what is right. We don't want to hear warnings. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Who is the Holy One of Israel? He is God, that is true. But it's Christ. We don't want to hear Christ. That's what they're saying. We don't want to hear him coming to us through you and warning us of judgment. Be silent, they say. Tell us lies or be quiet. Jeremiah 11, verse 21. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. The men of Anathoth came to Jeremiah and they said, we don't want to hear God. We will kill you rather than hear God. God says, Jeremiah, if they do not hear you, I will threaten them. I will punish them. But God also says to ministers, if you do not tell them, I threaten you. Ignore the threats from the people. The greater threat is God Himself. I will punish you if you fail to warn. So I say to you, friends, do not despise ministers who warn. Remember, God threatens those ministers if they do not. There is great folly in neglecting to heed ministerial warnings. No matter how dark and black and gloomy those warnings come, tremble at such a word. Amen.